Here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Wednesday, April 27th, 2011 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM every Wednesday at 3. We bring you Pentagon Solutions. We dig into issues that the Pentagon is facing, challenges they have, and how they're dealing with those challenges and offering those solutions. And I'm pleased to welcome to the program today Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson of Program Executive Officer Soldier. We're going to learn today what PEO Soldier does and some of the challenges they're facing, some of the ways that they're working with industry and with other elements and other branches of the Pentagon try to meet those. Sir, it's great to have you on the program today. Thanks for coming in.
Francis, thank you very much. And on behalf of Brigadier General Promotable Peter Fuller, the PEO of the Program Executive Office and the PEO team, thank you for having us.
Happy to have you here today. You've brought some displays that we're going to get some pictures up on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later on in the hour. And I'm going to try to do some video while you're talking about some of these things so folks can follow along. But let's start out by talking about the mission of PEO Soldier.
Well, thank you. Well, PEO Soldier is actually the Program Executive Office. It is the Army's acquisition agency. It's one of 13 Program Executive Officers. In fact, we got PAO Ammunition, Chemical Biological, Stride, but we're the only PEO with Soldier in it. Primarily, our mission is to enhance the combat effectiveness of our soldiers, and we do it by increasing their lethality, survivability, and we give our soldiers the ability to operate and fight in any environment.
The ability to fight in any environment is especially challenging considering where some of our men and women are engaged right now. Talk about some of the unique things that were created for going to Iraq. You've served in Iraq. Mm-hmm. You also served in Afghanistan. Thank you for that service,
Thank
sir.
You.
Talk about the genesis of how the requirements in Iraq were unique and some of the changes that caused in what each soldier carries with him or her.
Francis, the mission in Iraq was mostly a mobile mission. Majority of the missions were mobile, with the exception of, you know, of course, some of the operations, ground operations. And that required us to have, and the threat was an IED or EFP threat, IED improvised explosive device or explosive foreign projectile. Those are some very, very critical and lethal weapons that the insurgents were using against us. And we were in vehicles, so we wore everything. We wore deltoids to cover the shoulder muscles, the groin protectors. But as the battle shifted to Afghanistan, more dismounted missions. And the threat was mostly it still is, IED sniper threat. That required mobility of our soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to increase the mobility of our soldiers. Being dismounted over there, there were some temperature issues. And the soldiers simply say, we need lighter equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we began to develop what we call a soldier plate carrier system. And that took about 15 pounds off the soldier, mm-hmm. and also gave a commander the ability to scale down some protective equipment.
That idea that someone in theater is able to have some influence about what each soldier's carrying, is that a new thing, or is that pretty standard operating procedure?
That's pretty standard operating procedure. I remember the two deployments that I had that we did have input. If it was going right, we did it by surveys. We did it by post-combat assessments.
Mm-hmm.
There was websites. There were field op representatives to come out and see, well, is this working? Is it not working? So it's pretty standard operation.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the how well protected the soldiers are with the gear that you have here.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that we are, and there are some soldiers too. I can sit and think that soldiers are well protected.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wore this gear myself, I know the level of protection and I'm very confident in that as well. But the level of protection, and we go from the head, I call to toe. We've given them an advanced combat helmet, and that combat helmet actually helps the soldier prevent scrapnel wounds to his head. We have several testimonials, that shows the protective ability of the helmet system.
Mm-hmm.
Goggles, for instance. We do ballistic goggles, and I have a set here. Those ballistic goggles have actually served to save soldiers' eyesight, and thereby a commander doesn't lose the combat power.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of those goggles, just on the 23rd, I received a note from a combat leader, and the note said, just in case you have any issues with the combat eyewear, let me... And he sent us a testimonial. It says, here it is. If anyone needs any convincing that wearing ballistic eye protection prevents serious injury in death of combat, show them the attached document. This is from a combat leader in the Kurungai Valley. And it actually shows that while this unit was on the move, they took some sniper fire, and a round actually pierced the side of a pair of ballistic goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And the byline is that this specialist then continued with his mission. The mission was completed successfully. Little only received minor injuries. I should have mentioned his name, but and the eye pro was still intact. Okay,
that's unbelievable.
The eye pro. And if you go down to what we've done with the Army combat shirt, everything that we are issuing our soldiers, and this is important, is fire resistant.
Mm-hmm.
And we also lace that material with what we call permethrin. That is to prevent any microbial infections from ticks, lice, leishmaniasis. Then what we've done, too, with, of course, we got armor protection, the improve out of tactical vests.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mentioned the soldier plate carrier system.
Yes.
We have insert plates for the side and insert plates for the front and back.
Mm-hmm.
As you go down, too, you'll also see the soldiers wearing gloves. Those gloves come in good. As I go visit soldiers at Walter Reed and throughout the different caches, I look at the soldier and I can tell if a soldier had that protection on or
mm-hmm.
not. You know, you'll see a raccoon look, for instance. That tells me soldier's face may be burned a little bit, or,
mm-hmm.
but the eyes, he still can see.
Because he had his goggles
right.
on.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you look at his hands, you'll see that he's received some injuries to the arms. However, the hands are untouched. And just last week, I will tell you, I was visiting a soldier, and I asked him, you know, I always ask him about four things when I visit wounded soldiers. I ask him, how are you doing? What happened? How was your leadership? And then I ask him, well, tell me about the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the soldier's mother was present, and she said, Sergeant Major, she says, and he's a bilateral amputee, by the way, and missing a right hand. She says, I'm absolutely convinced that if my son did not have enough equipment, he would not be here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I spoke with the soldier. He's a young specialist. He says, Sergeant Major, he says the equipment is good, very good, and he really emphasized the helmet, but mostly emphasized it must be worn properly.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of input and feedback from our soldiers. It would be hard for me to sit at Fort Belvoir and tell you how good that equipment is. So mm-hmm. we have to go out to the soldiers ourselves and see. Just completed a trip to Afghanistan where I was with the Division Sergeant Major for the 10th, Chris Greca. We did some battlefield circulation. And I went out there and we really talked to soldiers about the equipment. And it's just, it's for me, it's enlightening.
Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking about PEO soldier, how exactly warfighters in the Army are equipped when they go into the field. We'll continue our conversation in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
For over 40 years, Mantech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals. professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, ManTech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine. And for the fourth year in a row, was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. ManTech is an equal opportunity employer.
This is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For over 132 years, we've been protecting soldiers, airmen, and their families with low-cost life insurance and unique survivor assistance services. We focus on our members' best interests. That means offering the best prices on life insurance for military personnel and policies with no war, no aviation, and no terrorism clauses or surcharges. Get a free quote today at AFMA.com. That's AAFMAA.com.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem. The answer? Too many leaks. Quest Security Solutions will help you pinpoint the cracks in your defenses and keep your critical data from seeping out. For a free risk assessment, visit quest.com/federal. That's quest.com/federal.
Homeland Security doesn't just happen. It takes vigilance, intelligence, and experience to see and solve a problem long before it happens. TASC has done this for America's intelligence and defense communities for more than 40 years. As a proven and trusted partner in our nation's security, TASC has the most sophisticated IT solutions and tailored program management expertise to help DHS protect Americans. Homeland Security, by design. That's TASC. Learn more at TASC.com.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Thursday morning's Federal Drive. Treasury is retiring paper checks for good. We'll find out how the federal government is making the transition for everyone getting federal benefits. And the FBI's next generation identification system is up and running and already revolutionizing law enforcement. That and more Thursday morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check out our website, federalnewsradio.com.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Pentagon Solutions this week features Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson of PEO Soldier, and we're talking about exactly what the soldier wears when he goes into the war zone. And Sergeant Major, one of the things we were talking about in the last segment was the feedback that you get from the soldiers that tell you exactly the experiences they had with the equipment. Talk about some changes that you've made over the years, or adjustments or additions or subtractions based on that feedback, and talk about how you get the feedback from the people who are wearing this stuff and using it.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the major changes that we've received, that we've made, that from feedback from soldiers, has been the uniform, the Operation Enduring Freedom uniform we call the camouflage pattern, the OCP.
Mm-hmm.
Soldiers were complaining that the universal camouflage pattern, which what we deployed with, which is what I have on today,
mm-hmm.
was not providing enough concealment for them, and their confidence was low.
Mm-hmm.
And we took that feedback, and we sent a team into Afghanistan. And the Congress actually says, look, what we need you all to do, PEO soldiers, is to immediately field at least two uniforms. That was phase one. Thereafter, you'll feel a permanent uniform for OEF. So we had to develop the science first. We did feel two battalions of two different types of uniforms to see whether it would fit the environment. Then secondly, we sent a team in on the ground. We took pictures, simulations. We worked very closely with the Research and Development Center. We worked very closely with NADIC Research and Development Center. And so the long story short, we came up with a Operation Enduring Freedom camouflage pattern. And that is the, quote, brand name Multicam. That's directly from soldier feedback. And we shifted to, again, to Afghanistan. We were in the temperate boot that we commonly use. It's a standard issue. Based on the terrain in Afghanistan, the soldiers say we need a mountain boot. And we took that information and we went out and we solicited industry. You know, Army doesn't make anything anymore, so we solicited industry and went through the regular acquisition procedures. And now we fielded the soldiers a mountain combat boot. We in the process in the next 6 months of fielding another boot. Because soldier feedback saying we need something just a little better.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to improve on the product. We want to give them the 100% solution, but sometimes that 100% solution takes a little while. But we'll give them 90%. The soldier feedback comes in, and then we'll go back and we'll get that fixed. Now, I just hosted Command Sergeant Major Rice. He's the U.S. Forces Iraq. Deputy Command Operations Sergeant Major. He came over. He brought in a lot of soldier feedback, and we had a table, all the PMs sitting there, the project managers. And so we are acting on the feedback we got even from Iraq. Then from Afghanistan, again, we went over there, and we sat with the warfighters, the division sergeant majors and the brigade sergeant majors. And we took direct feedback from them. Again, they told us what was working, what was not working, where they need improvements. Another method of feedback, we use social network. Every facet of social networking circles, we use that. I have a Ask the PEO Command Sergeant Major on the PEO website where I field a lot of suggestions, and all not negative. Don't misunderstand me. It's a lot of good stuff that we get from our soldiers. And when it comes from soldiers, I tell you, it's taken – it's very seriously. Every piece of equipment we have, whether it's a weapon system or a sensor or laser, is pretty much built by soldier input. So that's one of the major functions of PEO soldiers, going out, gathering that feedback, bringing it back, and improving on the product.
When you make a change like the change you talked about in the camouflage pattern, how quickly are you able to turn something like that around? How quickly will the soldier in the field say, here's my new uniform, I can put this my old one away and start wearing the new thing?
Yeah, because of federal acquisition rules and regulations, we'll have to make sure that everything we put on that soldier has been thoroughly, rigorously tested and evaluate it. And so that's a process. And then with the acquisition process, we have to, again, take it through certain regulatory steps. But with this uniform, we turn that uniform around in about 7 to 8 months. That was a record because we had some collaboration also with defense with DLA, Defense Logistic Agencies, and they helped us, and industry helped us to turn that around very swiftly for that type of change.
I think there's a perception that for something to get done of that level, that it just takes forever and ever. And the stories that I hear from anecdotally indicate that that's not always the case.
No, because the requirements that come in, I'll tell you, there is some expediency in that, no doubt about that. And we just cannot normally to take a product through the acquisition process is 3 to 5 years. But our soldiers can't wait on that.
Right.
We have to field equipment as quickly as we possibly can. And there are means by which we can do that. But first of all, we have to ensure that everything we put on our soldiers is safe.
Does industry get that? And do they respond well enough, do you think, when you say, hey, we've got to do this in really short order, we've got to turn this around quick, and we need you to help us do it?
Industry does. I'll tell you right now, with our industry partners, and that's what we call several cylinders of excellence, our industry partners is a cylinder of excellence. Mm-hmm. We have the Research and Development Center is a cylinder of excellence. They understand the rapidity trying to get this turnaround on equipment back to the warfighter.
Mm-hmm. But my guest on Pentagon Solutions today, Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson of PEO Soldier, and we'll continue our conversation in a moment. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about technology. This is not just clothing and gear. There's a lot of technology on each warfighter as he goes into the field, and we'll talk about that when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose.
For more than 30 years, FLIR Systems has provided customers with trusted support needed in critical missions. With a full spectrum of products designed to enhance perception and awareness, FLIR's threat detection systems are used by civilian and government agencies around the world. FLIR now provides comprehensive radiation detection and identification for threat detection, disaster preparedness, and emergency management, such as the ongoing crisis in Japan. For more information, visit FLIR.com/detection.
Facing a new day, delivering services efficiently, improving citizens' lives, Booz Allen Hamilton supports the most important challenges of government, from defense and economic security to health and cyber solutions. Booz Allen's strategy and technology consultants partner with clients to deliver results that endure. Whether managing today's issues or looking beyond the horizon, clients can count on Booz Allen to help them be ready for what's next. BoozAllen.com/ready for what's next.
The Federal Broadband Minute, provided by Hughes.
How much bandwidth is needed for field offices to meet their agency's missions? The answer? It depends on your mission and your network. One size does not fit all. Too little at some sites may mean you can't run critical, bandwidth-hungry applications. Too much at others means you're wasting tax dollars. You need to tailor bandwidth requirements at each location to ensure your network achieves your agency's mission. Only Hughes National Managed Broadband Service delivers bandwidth tailored to fit at every site affordably to quickly access voice, video, and data for daily operations or to reach your agency's cloud. Hughes technology includes built-in WAN optimization, ensuring high-quality voice and data traffic is delivered on time and with optimal bandwidth efficiency. Enable your government field office of the future today. From Hughes.
Visit government.hughes.com/WFED.
The Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program open season is here. Did you know that at least 70% of people over age 65 will need long-term care at some point in their lives? Long-term care services are expensive. You may need to rely on loved ones or pay for long-term care services out of your income or assets. Fortunately, the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program was designed to help protect against the high cost of care. Open season ends on June 24th. Visit ltcfeds.com to learn more today.
Springtime flowers are bursting out everywhere. A Harvard professor didn't just accept the beauty, he wondered how it worked. Surprisingly, the way flowers bloom was a bit of a mystery. So Harvard professor Mahadevan, an applied mathematician, looked at it with an engineer's eye and noticed the wrinkled edges on lily petals. Then he peeled back an unbloomed bud and
found that the petals start to have wrinkled edges even before they have been exposed, suggesting that the edges are growing earlier than the rest of the petal.
Mahadevan proved this with experiments and showed that this uneven growth causes petals to break away from the bud.
Our explanation transcends the specific instance of the blooming flower,
so it may provide ideas for useful new engineering designs. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
As gas prices rise, focus is shifting toward the administration's ambitious clean energy goals. Join AFSEA Bethesda and AFSEA Energy May 4th at the Bethesda North Marriott for the second Energy and the Environment IT Day, featuring EPA, DOE, GSA, NRC, the DOD, NOAA, and Interior. View the impressive speaker lineup and register at AFSEABethesda.com/EEITday. Special thanks to premier sponsors Booz Allen, CGI Federal, DLT Solutions, General Dynamics, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and platinum sponsors HP and Centurion Research Solutions.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today is Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson with PEO Soldier. We'll continue our conversation with him in a moment. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller is at the White House and joins me now to talk about an event that took place there today. A lot of news coming out of the White House that affects the way agencies operate and organization and so on. Jason, thanks for letting me know what's happening. Tell me about this executive order that the White House is releasing today.
Right. The event went on a couple different, looked at a couple different areas. Number one, the executive order that President Obama issued today around getting agencies to provide better and more citizen services. Now, what does that mean? We've heard that many times. And in fact, we've heard that over the last decade. You know, citizen-focused, you know, usability. But what this executive order requires agencies to do is basically take a, what they call a signature initiative that they're going to improve upon and make more easier for citizens to use in the next 6 months. They also are to develop what they call customer service plans, which basically are going to incorporate best practices that are across the private sector and figure out a way to get real-time customer feedback to improve how they deliver services to citizens. Now, this is anything from getting VA benefits, to understanding your Social Security check, to applying for loans. So this runs the gamut of anything the government does that really faces the citizen. And on top of all this, the executive order calls for a reduction of the 20,000 websites that agencies are currently are working on, consolidate them and make them easier for people to find information they need.
That's one of the things that Martha Doris was talking about with me yesterday from the General Services Administration, just sorting all of this information out and consolidating it in ways, thinking about these things from the perspective of the user who's going to be consuming the information rather than from the person that's, or organization that's pushing the information out the way they might think that it should be structured, thinking about it from the way the citizen is going to try to use that information or gain that information.
Exactly, and this is obviously not a new initiative. The government's been working on this for several years. I think that under the Bush administration, they came out with that idea of citizen services, citizen-centric approach. The difference here is, number one, it's an executive order, and two, they already have some best practices right there in the government. For instance, Jeff Zients, Deputy Director for Management, talked about the IRS as one example. And let me just throw out some statistics. 2001, 70% of all tax returns were filed on paper, 30% online. Now it's 30% on paper and 70% online. It is costing the IRS 17 cents per tax information to process that, and that is such a little amount of money compared to what they were spending. Mm-hmm. And this actually takes into account the investment they did in IT. This is just one way that agencies can move to serve citizens differently and in a more cost-effective manner.
All right. You'll have more on that with me later this afternoon, so hoof it back here so we can talk about that later on in the program, okay?
Very nice.
Thank you, sir. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller with me on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's Pentagon Solutions today on In Depth with Francis Rose. And my guest in studio is Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson of PEO Soldier. And we're talking about what exactly the warfighter takes into the field with him. One of the things that I read on a regular basis, sir, is the various technology elements of what the warfighter carries. And I had not thought about the aspect that you mentioned right at the top of our conversation, which is just the sheer weight of carrying around just about everything I imagine that the warfighter uses has to be powered by something, requires a battery or something like. Talk about the technological aspects of what the warfighter carries and what you're trying to do to improve that.
Francis, I tell you, it's a very good question. As you know, we always seek innovative and technologically advanced means to develop and acquire newer and better equipment and deliver it to our soldiers. Now, the Army has made a deliberate effort to integrate technologies for our soldier, and we, of course, treat our soldier as a system. I like to stress this point that we're a very high-tech Army right now, and our equipment in the last thing, we've been at war now for about 10 years, persistent conflict, and the equipment has become more sophisticated. I would like to, for example, there are two pieces of equipment. For instance, if we fight at night, and we still own the night.
Mm-hmm.
What we've done at PEO Soldier, we fielded a piece of equipment that allows our soldiers to have a thermal capability as well as an infrared capability into one system. It's a helmet-mounted system, and that in itself is cutting-edge technology.
Mm-hmm.
We just fielded a weapon system, and we call it the XM-25. It's a kind of definitely target engagement system. Now, that engagement system, it actually works with a fire control mechanism. It's smart round technology. Soldier engages a target. The round talks to the fire control mechanism, tells the soldier when to fire it. And when the round goes off, it's counter-defilade, which means if you are hiding behind a rock or an obstacle, that round goes off, and it's a 25-millimeter round. The round is out, and it goes off over the insurgent or enemy,
mm-hmm.
and explodes in a downward fashion. We have five of those weapon systems right now in Afghanistan, and the feedback has been very, very positive from our soldiers. Another system that we are currently fielding, we have a team, and we just don't take a system like this to the field and leave it. We also leave our teams with it,
mm-hmm.
our technical teams with it. But we are fielding a sniper weapon system, and soldiers have asked for it because what they asked for a specific capability to fill a gap, for mm-hmm. instance. Let's say we had a weapon system over that gave them a range of 800 meters. Well, this is the fight that we're fighting, we need an additional 400 meters. We get that feedback, and we go again back to industry. And what we've done, we're in the process, and the team's on the ground right now, fielding what we call the XM-2010.
Mm-hmm.
It's an advanced sniper rifle that makes up that 400 meters with even greater accuracy. The technology that the Army is dealing with right now, I will tell you, it's very expensive. And as I walk through airports with this uniform on, the public says thank you for your service. And I thank them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I thank them because it's the taxpayers' dollars that allows us to fight in the best equipment, the taxpayer dollars that allows us to get this technology. And that gives our soldiers a decisive edge on the battlefield.
When we come back, I'm going to ask you to move over by some of the displays that you brought. We'll get a microphone on over there, mm-hmm. and I'll turn on the video camera. And later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, we'll post this. Like to have you maybe just give me a little tour of what we've got mm-hmm. over there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that when we return with Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back in a moment.
NBC News Radio, I'm Nora O'Donnell. Saying he's got better stuff to do, President Obama released his long-form Hawaiian birth certificate today.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
The president said he hopes to put to rest the controversy over his birthplace because it's drowning out some more important issues. Donald Trump, who has repeatedly called on Mr. Obama to release his birth certificate, immediately took credit for the action. In other news, the president is making a major shuffle in the nation's national security leadership. He plans to name CIA Director Leon Panetta to replace the retiring Defense Secretary Gates and General David Petraeus to be the director of the CIA. And for the first time in the Federal Reserve's 98-year history, its chairman will be holding regular news conferences. Ben Bernanke is meeting the press on the economy at this hour.
Looking ahead, committee participants expect a moderate recovery to continue through 2011.
The Fed announced it will keep key interest rates where they are now, around 0%. I'm Nora O'Donnell, NBC News Radio.
Flowers blooming, soccer starting, dust bunnies flying. All signs that say, Candace, stock up at Sam's Club.
Member Candace Reed on the Sam's Club Spring Stock Up event. With big savings on brand name essentials like Cascade, Glade, Quilted Northern, and more.
Not a member? Join now, get a gift card up to $25, and watch the savings add up.
It's a sure sign you're at Sam's Club.
Stock up for spring April 25th to May 3rd at Sam's Club and samsclub.com. Savings made simple.
Welcome to Ask the Mermaid. We have Bobby on line one.
Hello?
Well, hello, Bobby. What's your question?
Why do you say chicken of the sea is the best tuna?
Because it tastes great.
Why?
Because chicken of the sea tuna has a fresh, delicate flavor.
Why?
Because we want your whole family to love it.
Why?
Oh, no. I think we lost Bobby.
Ask any mermaid you happen to see. What's the best tuna? Chicken of the sea.
IT professionals and graduates from around the country have a lot to say about their experiences from the online Masters in Information Systems from UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
My current title is Chief of Technology. That was one of the things that I was actually looking for, was to have chief or officer within my position title.
Apply today for our upcoming semester. For more information, call 1-800-353-UMBC or visit us online at onlinems.umbc.edu.
Tune in to Fed Central, dedicated to sharing insights and best practices on topics ranging from cybersecurity to sustainability to healthcare reform. Hear straight talk from government leaders and industry specialists on the issues that are shaping how agencies serve their mission and their constituents. Hosted by veteran broadcaster Jane Norris. Don't miss Fed Central on the 4th of May at 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Sponsored by Deloitte.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem.
Am I number E enough? All the other information is way prettier. I look fat in this network, don't I?
The answer? Insecure data. With Quest's suite of security solutions, even your most sensitive data stays protected. For a free risk assessment, visit quest.com/federal. That's QWEST.com/federal.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Howard Schmidt is the White House cyber coordinator.
It's not a matter that I have to go in and deal with people and try to sell how important cybersecurity is. The secretaries, deputy secretaries, the executive management across the departments and agencies, across the executive office of the president. One of the things that I'm really heartened by is the fact that there is tremendous attention and everybody gets it. And the issue is how do we make this better?
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today on In Depth on Pentagon Solutions, my guest is Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson with PEO Soldier. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, sir, that you brought in addition to coming in with some of your team members, you brought in some exhibits, some displays, some gear. Your roadshow, I guess, is the non-technical term for it. And my colleague Jolie Lee is here, and she's got the video camera. And I'm going to ask you to take us through this pretty impressive display that you brought us, and talk about what and show us exactly what a warfighter's carrying in the field.
Francis, thank you very much. And this is the reason why we brought this mannequin. This mannequin right here represents exactly what our soldiers look like, what they're fighting in. Overall, he's fighting in the Operation Enduring Freedom camouflage pattern with their multicam brand. You'll see the advanced combat helmet. Again, I like to stress, everything the soldier is wearing is fire resistant and is treated with permethrin, a bug repellent, so to speak. Notice he's got an advanced combat helmet with a chin strap, as we talk about post-traumatic or traumatic brain injury. That helmet and the nape pad behind the helmet assist us, you know, and helps us to kind of prevent or mitigate any type of brain injury. Look at the those are the combat eyewear. That combat eyewear prevents shrapnel from going to the eyes. Also has the ability to protect our soldiers from lasers. If you go down to the shirt, for instance, that is a combat shirt. That shirt also is fire resistant. That's been one of the innovations that what we've done. Instead of fighting in the regular blouse, our soldiers now fight in the Army combat shirt. That Army combat shirt, again, is fire resistant. It has padding, additional padding in the elbow. It is wicker treat it for heat and trap moisture. You'll see he's fighting in the soldier plate carrier system. Now, this apparatus that you see that's pretty much hanging off of him, so to speak, or that attached to him, is what we call a tactical assault panel.
Mm-hmm.
When we first fielded the soldier plate carrier system, the soldier said, look, it doesn't have enough real estate for me to take all of my ammunition and grenades and et cetera. So what we did was we developed a tactical assault panel that attaches to that soldier plate carrier system. Also, what's unique about that soldier plate carrier system is that it has a quick release on it.
Mm-hmm.
If a soldier is injured and he's got to get out of that, one pull and that pretty much disassembles,
mm-hmm.
whether he's in a vehicle or he's dismounted.
Wow.
Or he needs to be treated medically. So that disassembles. The soldier plate carrier system, again, allows our soldiers to give them more real estate to carry more ammunition, or the right amount of ammunition. Here you see to the right is what we call our IFAC, which is our improved first aid kit.
Mm-hmm.
In that first aid kit, there is an instrument to open, do an esophageal airway. We have a blood clotting agent in there, a blood clotting agent bandage.
Mm-hmm.
We also have what we call a combat application tourniquet in that. And based on the type of injuries that we had been experiencing, those were the things that our soldiers were asking for. And I'll tell you, it is proved to be very beneficial over there.
Mm-hmm.
As we treat the type of injuries that we're treating. If you go down to the gloves, those are combat gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Those gloves are fire resistant. And again, we've made some improvements with the dexterity based on some of the instrumentations and some of the little knobs that soldiers have to use. They needed some dexterity in the fingers, so we got them the right type of gloves. If you go down to the knee pads, those knee pads, soldiers kneel as they engage in combat and mobilization. They're on the rocks up in the mountains. They need those.
Mm-hmm.
And then down to that is a mountain boot made specifically for our soldiers fighting in the mountains of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, one of the improvements that we've gotten back from soldiers. That they needed a specific mountain boot with a Class C sole, really stiff. And as we speak, I think I said this earlier, that we've also improved that boot. We'll have another boot out in about 6 months. So if you move over here, we have this is the enhanced combat helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it enhanced? It's going to give us 50% more protection from shrapnel and small arms.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives us additional protection on the size of the round. Now, when we think about adding things to soldiers, we have to think about the weight. With the help of our industry partners, we're able to enhance the capabilities of this helmet and not increase the weight of it. So this will be out around June of 2011. We'll have that fielded as well. What I also want to put in another thing about this enhanced combat helmet, we're working with the Marines. It's actually, we're working very closely with the Marines in trying to develop this helmet as a joint partnership, and so forth, so good. What you see down here is a non-destructive testing equipment. We call the NDTE. This piece. This system is about $1.8 million per system. When you talk about confidence in the gear, what this does, this non-destructive testing equipment, the NDTE, as our soldiers fight in these plates, we ensure that there is something on the ground that our plates can be tested, whether they're cracked or chipped. This NDTE does that for us, and we have several in the theater. And so, again, to ensure that our soldiers have confidence in their equipment and the place that we give them, we have this system actually fielded.
Command Sergeant Major, we've got to take another break and get ready to wrap up, but I want to ask you about a couple of the things in particular that caught my eye when we come back from the break on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. My guest is Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson of PEO Soldier, and I remind you that our internet editor, Jolie Lee, is in the studio with me, taking video, and we'll post it this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com so you can see exactly what Sergeant Major McPherson was talking about, see what exactly a warfighter carries into the field with him on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Back in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Employed women, few. The organization of choice for leadership, equity, and the advancement of women would like to extend an invitation to FEW's 42nd National Training Program, NTP. Your future. Let it ring the sound of success in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, July 18th through 22nd. The NTP program is the largest training opportunity in the world for women in federal employment. The training program will again include training tracks, which will result in focused career-enhancing training and a better-trained employee in the following subject areas: executive leadership, project management, science and technology, business analysis, and human resources. The networking opportunities are endless. You will meet other government employees at all grade levels from across the nation. The 2011 NTP program, your future. Let it ring the sound of success in Philadelphia, July 18th through 22nd. For more details or to sign up, please call 202-898-0994. That's 202-898-0994. Or visit fewnpt.org. That's fewnpt.org.
This week's Kaiser Permanente Experts in Health topic is cholesterol management, featuring Dr. Lan Nguyen, Chief of Adult Primary Care in Northern Virginia for the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group.
Cholesterol is essential for the human body to function, but high cholesterol can be very harmful. High cholesterol promotes plaques to build up in the arteries, blocking blood flow, which can contribute to a heart attack or a stroke. Here are tips to manage your cholesterol. Know your numbers. First, measure your cholesterol levels every 5 years if you are over age of 20. Remember, your LDL should be low and HDL should be high for optimal levels. Get at least 30 minutes of physical activity a day to lower your risk of heart disease. Maintain a healthy weight. If you are overweight, lose 5 to 10 pounds can help lower your risks. Disease prevention is the best way to help you stay well and thrive.
To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's Experts in Health, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. How will federal managers improve program performance within the tight budget environment? Find out from Agency Leaders of Excellence in Government, the premier best practices conference for federal managers, May 23rd at the Ronald Reagan Building. Early bird rates are available through April 29th. Don't miss the event that federal managers say best prepares them to excel. Register now at excel.gov.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today, Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson of PEO Soldier. And one of the things we're going to do, sir, is we're going to put up a link to PEO Soldier's website at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Sure. So anybody that wants to know more about what you're doing and your mission and all that, they'll be able to find that information pretty easily. We're also going to post the video that we took of you giving us the tour through the uniform, through the mannequin that you brought in. And I did want to mention, I'm not sure why, but my colleague Emily Jarvis mentioned that she really liked that uniform. And so I'm not sure what exactly is going on there, but thought I would share that. And now she's cursing me from the other room. There are a couple of things that I noticed about this that stood out. I had the preconceived notion that I think a lot of people do about the footwear. The shoes that you have here, the boots, are not typical, what I would consider to be typical, army boots, what the reputation. Talk about the genesis of that. It looks like something that you'd find at an outdoor supply store that's just a plain old hiking boot.
Right. That is actually a Danner boot, it's a commercial off-the-shelf item.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that again. Again, we speed up the process. If it's on the shelves and we'll find it, we have a boot engineer who works specifically on boots. That's mm-hmm. his focus of boots. So he goes out and he finds a boot meeting its specific requirements, and he'll take that boot to a particular unit, and we test it. Another thing, and we do evaluations on all this gear prior to putting it out in the field mm-hmm. with soldiers. So, yes, if it's on the shelf, then we'll purchase it.
But rather than saying to a manufacturer, make this boot to our specs, you see if the boot fits the specs rather than making the specs fit the boot.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And the other thing was the eyewear.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that looks like something that you'd find in a cool eyewear, sunglass shop somewhere. It looks like pretty standard stuff. Obviously, it's not for the protective features that you talked about, but tell me about that.
Well, the eyewear itself, we found that we needed a specific requirement based on the blast that our soldiers experience out there. So we had to give them a combat eyewear.
Mm-hmm.
That combat eyewear is a polycarbonated lens. It's a plastic frame, cloth, elastic retention straps. With that, we give them cleaning cloths. We give them two pairs of them, in mm-hmm. fact. And along that, with that, we also give them goggles. We do sponsor what we call an approved eyewear list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That approved eyewear list then gives a soldier or unit the option of going out and purchasing the type of eyewear that they want. Because, soldiers, like you said, it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
We call it a soldier acceptability. If it meets the soldier acceptance, then the soldier's going to wear it.
Right.
So that goes from generals to privates.
Mm-hmm.
So we give a soldier something that he or she likes and would wear. And so far, we put about 9 pairs on what we call our APEL,
mm-hmm.
and a leader knows whether a soldier is wearing an approved eyewear or not, and we just place what we call APEL on the side of the lens.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps the leaders out in the field to know that whether that soldier is wearing the correct pair of ballistic glasses.
There is always more to talk about than there is time to talk about it when I get into things like this. And unfortunately, I've got to cut our time together short, but I'm grateful for you coming in today to talk about all of this. This is fascinating to see exactly how somebody goes into battle and how prepared they are. And I'm grateful for you to come and talk about it with
Thank
me today.
Thank you very much, Francis.
It's been my pleasure. Command Sergeant Major Bernard McPherson of PEO Soldier, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Coming up,